police chief. The professor sidled next to the anarchist with the biggest beard and suggested he draw up a list of demands, phrasing it so the fellow would think the whole thing was his idea. Sapt looked about furiously, moustaches twitching. Dirty hands held him fast. A bunch of keys rattled on his belt. Moriarty pointed them out, and an urchin brushed past, deftly relieving Sapt of the keys. "Give him a taste of what the cannon girls get," I shouted. Ah, we left the mob happily shoving the secret policeman feet first up the nearest chimney. The anarchist had posted lookouts at the doors and was waving an ancient revolver at the still-surprised constables.
"You can't rush us," said Comrade Beard. "This Ruritanian territory is claimed by the Free Citizens Committee of Strelsau-Altstadt. Any action against us will be interpreted as a British invasion!"
The average London crusher isn't qualified to cope with an argument like that. So they bullied someone into making them tea and told the anarchists to hang fire until someone from the Foreign Office turned up. In return, Beard promised not to garrote any hostages just yet. Sapt, it appeared, had got stuck in the chimney. Now, with all this going on, it was a simple matter to slip into Sapt's private office, take down the portrait, and open the safe. It contained a thick, sealed packet, and, disappointingly, no cashbox or surplus crown jewels. Moriarty handed me the goods and looked about, brows knit in mild puzzlement.
What? Too easy?
No, my man. It's just as I foresaw. He locked the safe again. There was a clatter of carriages and boots outside. Boscobel Place filled with eager fellows in uniform. They've called out the troops. Time to leave, said the professor. Back in the foyer, Moriarty gave the nod. Our Comanche confederates left off pilfering and detached themselves from those still intent on making a political point. Sapt had fallen headfirst out of the chimney, blacked like a minstrel. The professor arranged the surreptitious return of his keys. We left the building as we came, through the front door. The Comanche melted into another crowd. As often, Moriarty had contrived not to be noticed. Like those lizards who can blend into greenery, he had the knack of seeming like a forgettable clergyman or a nondescript tutor, someone who's got off the omnibus two stops early and wandered into a bloodbath which was none of his doing. We strolled away from the battle. Shouts, shots, thumps, crashes and bells sounded. Nothing to do with us. A cab waited on the corner. Moriarty was in a black thinking mood. He chewed little violet pastels of his own concoction and paced his room, hands knotted in the small of his back, brows set in a crinkled frown. I was still full of the thrill of jizz-wackery, and minded to pop downstairs to call on Flossie, or Pussy, or whatever the tiny blonde with the lazy eyes said she was called. After the hunting grounds, the boudoir. I learned that in India, along with how to keep an eye on your wallet in the back of your trousers while they're draped over a chair. But the professor was preoccupied. The evening papers were in, along with tear sheets of fuller reports that would be in tomorrow's editions. Sapt was claiming that dangerous Ruritanian revolutionary movements needed to be exterminated. He called upon Great Britain, Ruritania's ancient ally, to join the crusade against insurrection, alleging that the assault upon the embassy, and his person, had been equally an insult to Victoria and Rudolf. Oh, typical foreign sod, wanting us to fight his battles for him. Back in Strelsau, there had been street skirmishes between Michaelists and Rudolfites. Many arrests had been made, and Sapt was expected to return to his country with information which would lead to a complete sweep of the organized troublemakers. The packet of photographs lay on our bureau. It seemed that reclaiming this property of a lady had interesting side effects. Moriarty's imaginary revolution had genuinely to be put down. I hope the blasted country don't go up in flames before Irene can cash these chips, Moriarty. She'll get no blackmail boodle out of them if they're hanging from lampposts in the public gardens. And Moriarty growled. He left the room and closeted himself in the dark, buzzing space where he raised his wasps and plotted the course of heavenly bodies.
Speaking of heavenly bodies.